Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award winning Niall Boylan Show. Ireland's classic hits.
I want to talk about hobbies. And it was a thing, an article that we spotted today, that we spotted actually in the paper today, about, you know, the things that you collect as a child, the hobbies, those kind of things that you collected. Ruth said, by the way, she was blown away by the fact that when I was young, a thing that people collected was fancy paper. Do you remember collecting fancy paper? Yeah. Stamps, coins, baseball pins, vinyl. Well, it wouldn't be baseball pins, it'd be football pins in this country. Vinyl, records, of course, comic books. Wine. Who collects wine? Well, people do collect wine. Rather than drinking it, they just keep it in a wine cellar. Costs a lot of money. Trading cards, of course, the football cards that we all collected, or those kind of cards that you would have collected and swapped as a child. Toys and dolls and classic cars, books. Everybody kind of has a hobby of collecting something, don't they? I'd like to know what yours is. We're all kind of hoarders of something. The number is 087-188-0008. I have one of Aisling's hampers to give away. A couple of classic hits, mugs, and God knows what else is in it. All you got to do is let us know, what was your hobby as a child? What did you collect? Or maybe you still collect them, by the way. What do you collect? I had a mate, I shouldn't admit this, but I had a mate of mine many, many years ago when we were younger. And when I think about it, actually, it was really a bad thing to be collecting, because he used to collect the signs off the back of cars. Now, nowadays, that isn't the thing, because they're not. Years ago, they were like these little kind of cast, or sort of say stainless steel little signs, enjoined writing, and they'd be pressed into two little holes in the back of the car. You know, Cortina, Escort, Focus. Well, it wasn't Focus. There was no Focus in those days. Fiesta, all that. And he would take them off the back of the cars. He, with a little screwdriver, he would just, and it would just pop off, and he would take them, and he'd save them. And that's what he used to collect. And he kept saying to me, you can't keep taking them off the back of people's cars. Ah, it doesn't cost them much to get another one. And that's what he used to collect. And he had them all over his wall in his room. So what did you collect as a child? The number is 087-188-0008. That's 087-188-0008. All right, let me go to Christy. Christy, you're in Ireland's Classic Hits. How are you?
Hey there, buddy.
Good. Now, Christy, you... Well, actually, I collected the same thing as you, I think, at one stage in my life. But tell us what you collected anyway.
Oh, you collect Dinky, Matchbox and Corgi.
Yeah, I remember them well.
I still collect them. I'm 61 and I'm still collecting them.
I remember my dad used to bring me on a special occasion, be it a birthday or whatever. He'd bring me over to the local shop in Edenmore called Pat's. And they had a book and you'd go to it. Now, it was Corgi, I think, they stocked. And you'd pick a number and they were in the little yellow boxes. Do you remember the little yellow boxes?
Yeah, yeah.
And I'd have number 51. And they were fairly cheap at the time. I don't think they were that expensive. Like, you know, because my dad couldn't afford them if they were any. They were like about £1 or £2 at the time.
Yeah, I can't remember. Like, they're expensive now. Well, you need to get them that expensive.
And now I don't know where all mine are. They're probably all gone now. They would have been in the attic in my old father's house, but probably all in escape somewhere. So, but
they probably are. Yeah, like my own where.
Yeah.
I started collecting them again then when I got married. And so, yeah, I'm collecting them about 40 years. So.
And how much are they worth? Are they worth, if people have original Corgis or Matchbox or Dinky toys, which are little cars for people who don't know, how much, if they're in mint condition in the box, how much are they worth?
Mint condition in the box, like, worth hundreds.
Are you serious?
Yeah, serious. Seeing people paying for this, just even say the Batman model.
Okay.
600 quid at the moment.
I used to have the Batman one that had a little plastic flame in the middle between the two drivers.
Yeah. Or the monkeys, you remember the monkeys?
I had the monkeys car too.
They're all worth big money nowadays.
And were the monkeys of the Batman, were they Matchbox or were they Dinky or?
No, they were Corgi.
Corgi, okay, all right, okay. And how many have you got?
Thousands.
Thousands?
Yes.
Do you drive your other half mad, or is there another half?
I do, yeah. She goes mad when I spend the money on the butcher.
What's the most you've spent on one?
The most I've spent on one was probably about 150.
Well, that's not too bad.
No, that's not too bad, no.
You could live with that, yeah.
Yeah, but I shop around, but I mean, I have my dinkies and she has her handbags, so...
You know. Well, this is it. Yeah, she has her handbags, like most women, by the way, a collection of handbags that she'll never use.
That's it. Yeah.
And every time she goes out, she says, "I've nothing to wear, and I don't have a bag."
That's it. She never even uses the bags; they're just there.
Yeah, but I'm sure you never use your dinkies and corgis and matchboxes either.
Ah, no. Well, I take them out every now and again, do a few videos, and put them up on the website. You know.
Right, okay. And you have thousands of them. And is there any other? Is there like a group that you've joined that have other collectors that collect them as well? Yeah, there's probably groups.
No, we just keep in touch, like on Facebook. There's different groups on Facebook. You know, diecast collectors and Xbox collectors and all. But they were originally for my son, but now the grandson, so now they're for him. I left to him in the will. So.
Yeah, I know. I have an acquaintance of mine and lives in Dundalk, and he has a garage full of them. Now he mainly collects cranes and diggers and that kind of stuff, you know, but he has a whole garage full of them.
Yeah.
All laid out, and I've never seen a collection like it in my life. He lives up in Dundalk.
I know, some collections are massive, like, and they're fabulous, like, you know.
Well, listen, best of luck with your collection. Keep up the good work, all right.
Good man. All right. Enjoy the show. God bless.
It's worth a lot of money, but you'll never sell them, I know that.
No, that's for the grandson.
Okay, listen, thanks very much indeed, Christy. Let me go to Laura. Laura, you're an Ireland's Classic Kids. How are you doing, Laura?
Hi, Niall, how are you?
Good. What did you collect as a child?
Fancy paper and keyrings.
Now, see, I said this to Ruth earlier on about the fancy paper, and it blew her mind as a young person. She's no clue what I'm talking about when I say fancy paper.
And I still have it. Still have the collection.
Yeah, so explain to people what the attraction with fancy paper, or what fancy paper actually was.
It's just pretty paper. I don't know what the attraction was. It was paper with pretty images, mostly, I suppose, aimed at girls. But we used to sit, in the summer holidays, we'd sit outside and we'd swap.
Fancy paper.
She might have something she'd have something that I wanted, and she had something that, you know, and you'd just swap it around with each other.
And these are just small sheets of paper.
There were small ones, big ones. There was all kinds of different collections. I suppose it probably started, like most things, it probably started in the States, I think.
Yeah, probably.
Because I remember one of the girls, her sister went to the States and she got this beautiful paper that none of the rest of us had, and we were all so jealous.
Yeah.
And it was like prized possession if we got a sheet of it.
But yeah.
That's where it started.
My sister had fancy paper. I remember my sister used to get fancy paper. Yeah, she was older than me.
She never wrote on it.
No, I know. She didn't do anything with it. Do you remember eating paper? Do you remember people used to eat paper at one stage?
Oh, rice paper.
Yeah, but we used to call it eating paper. I know it was rice paper. But they did fancy designs on it.
Yeah, it still exists here and there. It's mostly kind of like money notes now that they print it on, but it still exists.
Yeah, and they had fancy eating paper too.
Yeah, no, I don't think I would have eaten my fancy paper. It was prized possession.
And how much fancy paper have you got?
Kind of a folder full of it. It's not a lot at this stage because I've moved country.
Right.
I moved out of the country and came back, and somehow I've managed to keep most of my fancy paper together, but it's not a massive collection, but it's stuff that I take out every now and again, and I kind of go, oh, look at that, we used to collect that, and my kids are looking at me going, yeah, you're nuts.
Yeah, and then some people are texting in, by the way, some of the fancy paper was smelly as well, so you could, you're like, yeah, you had raspberry and strawberry flavoured and all sorts of different flavours.
Yeah, and there was particular ones that were really popular. There was ones with the Pyro clown on it.
Right.
It came in like a booklet, and it was very popular at the time. There was all kinds of different...
Scratch and sniff as well. Somebody else mentioned scratch and sniff. Do you remember scratch and sniff? Oh, you'd scratch the paper and smell it, and you could smell like it was a picture of a strawberry on your fancy paper. You'd scratch the strawberry, and then you sniffed it, and you could smell the strawberry. At least you believed you could, anyway.
I get Avon catalogues now that do that, but that's a different thing.
Scratch and sniff. There's something dubious about that, to be honest with you. Scratch and sniff.
Yeah.
What else did you collect, Laura, as a child? What else?
Keyrings.
Okay, and have you got many of those?
I've never counted them. Probably a couple of hundred.
And what? A couple of hundred. What are you doing with a couple of hundred keyrings? And what sort of keyrings? Any keyrings? It didn't matter, like.
It kind of started out as any keyring, and then as years went on, anybody that was ever going abroad, I'd ask them to bring me back a keyring. So it's kind of a collection now of keyrings
from all different countries. Right, okay, Okay, yeah.
But I don't actually know where the fascination started. I just had a fascination for unusual keyrings, and I have little lighters and little, all kinds of mad little ones. There was a miniature pipe at one point I had, and you could actually stick a cigarette in it and smoke the cigarette.
That sounds like a healthy idea, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, at the time, of course, it's all relevant to context, of course. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I've never actually counted, but I have kind of keyrings all over the house, so they're not all in one kind of thing. The kids buy me keyrings at Christmas and that, and they kind of get thrown somewhere. So,
yeah, do you remember those little... There were sweet cigarettes. No, nobody sells sweet cigarettes anymore.
Oh, I know, yeah.
But in the sweet cigarettes, there was a card. Like a bit of, at the time, I think they put fancy paper in it as well. But there was like cards, and people exchanged these cards that was in the sweet cigarettes. And the sweet cigarettes in those days even had a little red top that it looked like it was lighting, and a filter on them, so we could pretend we were smoking. That's how naive we were.
I can go one better and remember there was a joke shop in Limerick years ago, and it was the best little joke shop ever, but he used to have the fake cigarettes.
That's right.
And when you actually blew out of it, there was like a powder in it, and it looked like you were smoking. And we're 6 to 7 walking around with these things.
I know.
And this is
Could you imagine somebody trying to sell that nowadays? Social media, they'd have them closed down in the morning.
Well, Laura,
thanks for sharing it. That one is Laura, the fancy paper and the sweet cigarette, or not the sweet cigarette, the key ring. Sorry. Thanks for sharing it. Some good memories there, Laura. And I think a lot of people texting in about fancy paper. Let me go to John. John, you're an Ireland's classic kids. How you doing, John?
Good day there, Noel.
Now, John,
how's it going?
What did you collect? Crucifixes. I know, I'm joking.
Crucifixes.
I'm joking. You're an angry Christian.
Demons, I tell you. Demons. And then, do you know what I did with them demons?
What did you do?
I faced them. I drew strength from them.
Did you?
And then I moved on.
What did you collect, John?
You remember Doctor Who, the proper show now, not the bullshit that's out there today?
Oh, yeah, John Pertwee.
You remember the old magazines, the old monthlies and weeklies that used to be in your little newsagent store, propped up in front of you so you'd walk in and buy it, even though it was full of crap?
Yep.
That's where I used to buy. Every time I'd walk into the shop when there was a wee little fella, I'd just go, Doctor Who, I have to buy that. Blake 7, anything to do with science fiction.
I'm trying to remember the original Doctor Who. So I think David Niven was the first movie Doctor Who. And then there was John Pertwee.
David Niven was never a Doctor Who.
Was it not David
Niven?
Peter
Cushing you were trying to
Peter,
say.
Peter Cushing.
Yeah, no, the first one was William Hartnell.
Right, and then the most famous one was John Pertwee. He was the longest running one, probably.
The guy who kicked her off was William Hartnell. And then in 66 you had Patrick Trout, and then in 1970 you had John Pertwee. Then in 1974 you had Tom Baker. Then in your 1980s you had Peter Davison. Then around 84 you had Colin Baker. And then in your 90s then you had Paul McGann. And the rest then is the modern day Doctor Who's. Basically your Peter Capaldi's and your...
David Tennant
and the other fellow, I've forgotten his name now. It's terrible. Doctor Who fan, I've forgotten.
Yeah, but
it's a woman.
It's a woman now, Doctor Who, isn't it? It's a female.
No,
Doctor
she's gone. Thanks be to
Jesus. Oh, is she gone?
What happened to her? It's even worse. And you're going to kill me for this, perhaps. Say now they've a black Doctor.
Don't go down this route that you're not happy about.
That's painful to me as a fan.
Okay, but it doesn't matter who it is now. Anyway, it's irrelevant. But I know it was a woman for a while, but
anyway.
She's gone.
No, I'll put it this way: I won't be watching it. Let's put it that way.
Okay, but you can make whatever decisions you want around that. Okay, but so you collected the magazines, all the Doctor Who magazines.
As a child, I never seen the William Hartnells. I never seen the Patrick Troughton episodes. So to me, they were a part of Doctor Who that I'd never seen. I never seen the John Pertwee. The only one I ever seen.
Pertwee.
Tom Baker.
Oh, Tom Baker. Yeah, he was good.
The first one I ever seen was Genesis of the Daleks. So I was a little nipper watching on the TV. And I just seen one scene of where he's blown up the Daleks. I said, jeez, that's great stuff. I have to go and watch it again. And from that day, I became a massive fan. And I went back and I bought all the old stuff that was out there. Like your previous caller, if I see anything related to the old Doctor Who, particularly annuals and stuff like that, I will buy them.
Yeah.
I will buy them. Doesn't matter what they are, because they are iconic in a sense. And would be worth money today. Because they're old 60s stuff. And they'd only cost you like a penny years ago.
I know.
You know, they'd only cost you a penny. And now, a good Doctor Who in the 60s, 200, 300, 400 pounds.
Yeah.
Or 400 euros. The value is astronomical on that kind of stuff. And even Blake 7, Star Trek, any of that stuff. James Bond.
But I think all the original stuff is obviously more valuable. All the old stuff. You know? Not the kind of newer stuff. Yeah.
Or even the Corgi toys of the James Bond cars. I mean, if you had the
DB7
car, you are talking big bucks there. You are
absolutely. Well, listen, I'm running out of time, John. Thanks. You're right. All the old James Bond stuff, the Corgi toys, the original DB7 Corgi or Matchbox, whatever it was, obviously worth money. Thanks to everybody, by the way, who got involved in the show, particularly in relation to our first topic.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show.